Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Praise God. God is just doing some amazing things. You know, when you look at the news, it's easy to get discouraged. But when you look at God, it's easy to be encouraged. Amen? Because where sin abound, grace much more abound.
Yes.
As the world gets darker, it just causes the children of God to shine brighter.
Come on.
Amen? And eventually, those in the world will realize that they're wasting their time, and they'll come to the light. Amen? Amen, amen. So as I said, I'm honored to have this wonderful privilege to be with you all today. I don't want to take too long. And, you know, it's good to have my cousin here in the house with me. God bless you, cousin. Thank you for coming. Praise God. Amen. My wife and children are at home. She was tired of chasing the children, so she decided to stay home tonight. But I'm pretty sure that we'll all see each other again. Amen. 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 So I don't want to prolong things too much in respect to your time. So we're going to get into the word, and dealing with the theme of this conference being devoted, I want to address it by going to Leviticus chapter 6, and I'll start reading in verse 8, Leviticus chapter 6, and I'll start reading in verse 8. This is what it says. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth on the altar all night until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and put his linen undergarments on his body. And he shall take up the ashes to which the fire has reduced the burnt offering on the altar and put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall arrange the burnt offering on it, and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Fire shall be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. I want to address the theme of being devoted by talking to you this evening on keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege of being able to be in your presence, God, to worship you, to praise you, God, to get close to you and for you to get close to us, God. God, I pray that you will speak to us on today. God, I pray that you will reveal your glory. God, I pray that not I will be exalted, but that you will be exalted, God, that all men may be drawn to you, God. God, have your way. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. I'm talking to you this evening on keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. In our text today, God was telling Moses what the priest needed to do in order to give him a proper sacrifice. Though different animals needed to be sacrificed every day, It required a different animal because the animal would die and they would have to sacrifice another one the next day. But what God did tell him to do is keep the fire burning. It must be the same fire. God calls us to keep the fire burning. And in order to keep the fire burning, there's some sacrifices that have to be made. You see, an Olympic runner doesn't make it to the Olympics without some sacrifices. A boxer doesn't become the champion without some sacrifices. There might be a race you're in, a championship you want to win. Maybe there's something you desire that God has for you, but you will never receive it unless you make the right sacrifices. You might have to sacrifice some relationships. You might have to sacrifice some habits. I remember when I got saved, I still wanted to hang out with some of the guys I used to hang out with. Tam knew me when I was in high school. I was a hard-headed. And I had to sacrifice some of those relationships because they still wanted to smoke weed. They still wanted to disrespect women. They still wanted to do the things that God had delivered me out of, so I had to sacrifice those relationships. And if you're going to receive everything that God wants you to have, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. It might be some relationships. It might be some habits. It might be something that only you know about. But if you're going to receive all that God wants you to have, it's going to require some sacrifice. I don't want to get ahead of myself too much. God gave Moses instructions for the priest to keep the fire burning. Fire then meant literal fire. It was an actual fire. But now the fire is our passion, our relationship, our desire for God. God wants us to keep it burning. And it's easy for a fire to go out. If you don't feed the fire, if you don't do something to maintain it, then the fire will go out. Keep the fire burning. One of the first instances we see of a burnt offering in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 8:20. When we see that, it says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar." Why did Noah do this? Noah did this as an act of gratitude. He was grateful that God has saved him. He was grateful that God has saved his wife. He was grateful that God has saved his family. So Noah, as an act of gratitude, he made a sacrifice. And just because God has saved us, it's enough reason for us to sacrifice. In order to keep the fire burning, a sacrifice must be made. Listen, the Israelites would bring a male bull, sheep, or goat with no defect. They would kill it at the entrance of the tabernacle. The animal's blood would be drained. They would skin the animal and they would sacrifice it. Aren't you glad we don't have to do all that today? We don't have to slaughter the animal and drain the animal's blood and skin the animal. I remember I seen an animal slaughtered, well, basically being slaughtered before, and it didn't look like a fun thing. Amen? Amen. So, but now there are still some sacrifices we got to make if we want to be all that God wants us to be. What are some things we can learn about God requiring a sacrifice? Because even though these things are in the Old Testament, they have New Testament applications. What are some things we can learn? The first thing I want you to know is that it takes work to keep the fire burning. It takes work. It's not just going to happen with you sitting at home watching reality TV all day. It's not going to happen if you're spending all day playing on social media, trying to impress your friends. It takes work to keep the fire burning. God wants you to keep it burning. But in order to keep it burning, there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be a sacrifice. One thing that concerns me kind of about our generation is we have access to so much so easy. You know, we don't have to do things the hard way so often. You know, we don't have to go out and milk the cows. We just go to the store and pick up milk. You know, we don't even have to go to the store to pick our clothes anymore. We can just go online and order and it'll be delivered to our door. You know, we got so much so easy, but it's important that you still know how to do things the hard way, because sometimes the hard way is the only way, and God requires us to make a sacrifice, and a sacrifice is work. It's work. The other thing we can learn for this is that we should give God our best. They said the animal had no defect. They weren't giving God their leftover potatoes. They were giving God their best. And God wants from us our best. You see, when you give God your best, He gives you His best. And His best is always better than anything you can provide. I think of a young athlete by the name of Tim Tebow. How many of you heard of Tim Tebow? You guys heard of Tim Tebow? Tim Tebow was a football player, and he started playing baseball now, I think. And I seen some news recently, and Tim Tebow was outspoken about being a Christian, and he was criticized for it. But I seen recently that Tim Tebow got engaged to a former Miss Universe. You see, Tim Tebow didn't back up because people criticized him for being a Christian. He kept on representing, and some woman said, "I like that. I'm gonna marry this man." Not just any woman, a former Miss Universe. If you give God your best, God will give you His best, which is always better than anything you can provide. Listen, the Bible says in Matthew 19, we see an interaction between Jesus and a rich young man. This young man is called the rich young ruler, and he wanted to know, what did he have to do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus told him the commandments, and the young man told Jesus that he had did all that. And then he asked if he still lacked anything, and Jesus told him to go sell everything he had and give it to the poor. And at this, he left sad because he had great wealth. He doesn't even know the kind of opportunity he missed. He had an opportunity to walk with the Savior of the world, to walk with the Creator, to walk with the Master of the universe. Seeing this interaction, Peter answered to him and said, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus told him, "Truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on His glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife," sometimes you got to leave family. Sometimes you got to even sacrifice those relationships. "Or children or fields, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." He talked about his apostles sitting on thrones. And those 12 thrones are for the apostles. But do you know that if you give your life to God and if you live for Him, you'll sit on a throne too? Yeah, this is a scripture that blew my mind. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Revelation 3, 21. 3:21, Revelation. This blew my mind. It says, "To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on His throne." This blew my mind, because earthly kings don't allow people to usually sit on their throne. Yet we got Jesus, the King of Kings, Jesus, the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the bright morning star, Jesus, the lily of the valley, Jesus, the rose of Sharon, Jesus, the first and the last, Jesus, the beginning and the end, saying, "I will allow you to sit on my throne with me." What a wonderful Savior He is. There's no king like Him. Jesus invites us to sit on His throne if we are victorious. So we should give God our best, because when we give Him our best, He gives us His best, which is always better than anything we can provide. Another thing we can learn from this burnt offering that we see is that the burnt offerings were daily. They were daily. They had to make the sacrifices daily. And living for God requires sacrifices daily. You have to sacrifice maybe some of your ambitions. You may have to sacrifice some of the things you thought you want. But whatever you sacrifice for God, God will replace it with something far better. Living for God requires sacrifices daily. I remember when I was in college. I mean, a lot of times, you know, the other students, they'd be going out on the weekend, going to the movies, hanging out, all this stuff. I might be back at the dorms, listening to sermons, reading my Bible, you know, getting closer to God. That was a sacrifice I made at that time. Nothing wrong with those things, but that was a sacrifice I had to make at that time. See, there might be some things that are okay for other people to do, but God's not calling you to do it at the time. You've got to know what sacrifices God is calling you to make to keep the fire burning. The text goes on, Leviticus 6, verse 9. It says, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth on the altar all night until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. What was the hearth? The hearth was the floor of the altar. Now, I got a fireplace at my place, and in it we have like this grill thing that you put the wood on so that it's not really on the floor. But God, I believe what God wants us to see through this is that God wants us to stay low before him. He wants us to stay humble. You don't exalt yourself. Just stay humble before God, and he'll exalt you when the time is right. He wants us to stay humble, and he wants us to stay on the altar. Stay on the altar. Stay humble before God, and God will exalt you when the time is right. Keep the fire burning.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Now, to keep the fire burning during the day requires sacrifice and it requires work. But I imagine that to keep the fire burning at night, it requires wisdom. It requires wisdom. Because at night, you go to sleep. So you need to put something on the altar that can last through the night. And this is when a lot of people struggle. They struggle at night. They struggle at night. They struggle keeping the fire burning then. Because they want to spend time with their friends, but they know they should be spending time with God. You've got to use some wisdom to keep the fire burning at night. Learn to slow down at night. It's okay to tell people you got something else to do. It's okay to let the phone go to voicemail sometime. Learn to keep the fire burning at night. It takes wisdom to keep it burning at night. Matthew 24, 43 says, But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Listen, the enemy's going to come. He tempted Jesus. He's going to tempt you too. He's going to tempt all of us. But have enough wisdom to be prepared for him when he comes. It's okay to have a pre-planned response. It's okay to be prepared and to know how you're going to counter what the enemy's bringing at you. Verse 10 says, and the priest shall put on his linen garment and put his linen undergarment on his body, and he shall take up the ashes to which the fire has reduced the burnt offering on the altar and put them beside the altar. The priest, there was priestly clothes. Priestly clothes. What is a priest? A priest is someone who makes sacrifices. And simple. A simple definition of a priest is someone who makes sacrifices. And did you know that you are a priest? When you give your life to God, you become a priest. And God expects you to make sacrifices. Sacrifices. And notice that there was clothes for the priest. So you ought to dress like a priest. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to push this one too hard, but at least when you come to church, try to dress decent. I'm not saying you got to have a suit and a tie. You don't have to dress like you're going to a business meeting with the CEO of a company, but just dress decent if you can. I understand if you don't have it, just wear the best you got. Ladies, don't be a stumbling block for us men. Amen. Dress decent when you come to church. Notice. There was clothes for the priest. But also, those things that were literal in the Old Testament also have a New Testament application. Because there's also a way we ought to clothe ourselves now. Romans 13, 14 says, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So now you are to be clothed in Christ. What does that mean? That means you have to start thinking like Christ. You have to start acting like Christ. You have to start doing the things that Christ does. Now we are to be clothed in Christ. We are to choose to be like him rather than choosing to be like the world. Matthew 11, 29 and 30 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is a yoke? A yoke is a cross piece that connects two animals that are either plowing or carrying a cart. And when you yoke up with Jesus, you have all the help you need to make it through the troubles in this life. To keep the fire burning, it's going to take some work. The other thing I want you to notice here is in verse 10, it says, and the priest shall put on his linen garments and put his linen undergarments on his body, and he shall take up the ashes to which the fire has reduced the burnt offering on the altar and put them beside the altar. He shall take up the ashes. The ashes. What are ashes? Ashes are waste. And maybe somebody in here, you feel like you've wasted your life. You feel like you've wasted your talent. You feel like you've wasted your potential. But I got good news for you. God can take nothing and make something. The Bible tells us that God bestows on us a crown, beauty instead of ashes. If you give God the years you've wasted, if you give God the mistakes you've made, if you give God the things that you knew you shouldn't have done, God will take those things. He'll take those broken pieces and he'll make a mosaic. He'll take those pieces and he'll make a masterpiece. God specializes in taking nothing and making something. Go ahead and give God a hand of praise in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The next verse, Leviticus 6:11. Then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. There are garments for secular activities and there are garments for holy activities. We can see in Genesis 41 that before Joseph was taken before Pharaoh, he was required to shave and change his clothes. You know, if you know God has a bright future for you, dress for your future. Amen. Joseph didn't just go in his prison clothes. He dressed for his future. If you know God has great things in store for you, dress like where you're going to. Amen. Why was the fire on the altar to burn continuously? Why was it to burn continuously? Leviticus chapter 9, 24 says, it tells us that fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. One reason the fire, you must keep the fire going, is because the fire has been started by God. God has started the fire in your life. You didn't initiate the relationship with him. He initiated the relationship with you. And so now what he requires of you is for you to keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Because God, you know, people have all kind of fire for different things. They're passionate about football. They're passionate about something else. But God wants you to be passionate about him first. Keep the fire burning. The Bible tells us that some of Aaron's sons offered to God strange fire. And God killed them like that. God doesn't want you to have any passion, any desire before him. Keep the fire burning. There are at least three qualities of fire that I want to tell you about. First, there's the flame. Then there's the light. And then there's the heat. You have to feed the fire in order to have the heat as a source of power. If the fire goes out, you have no power. There's the light. You have to feed the fire if you want to be the light that God wants you to be shining in this world. Then there's the fire itself. If you don't have the heat and you don't have the light, you don't have the fire. You won't have the flame. You'll be missing out on your relationship with God. God wants you and me to keep the fire burning. The fire God has started in you, you must keep it burning. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. Don't put the Spirit out. Don't get hard toward God when God is moving. Feed the fire. Don't put it out. There's a story that Leonardo da Vinci was painting the great painting of The Last Supper. And when he was doing this painting, he was looking for someone to use as the figure for Jesus. So he had a search done, and after weeks went by, a young man was brought to him who he thought had the face and the character to represent Christ. So he painted this young man, and it took him months to paint this young man as the face of Christ. And then over the next 6 years, Da Vinci went ahead and painted the apostles, leaving Judas for last. So he had a search done for a man that had a face that had been scarred and damaged by sin. And finally, word was brought to him that there was a man in a dungeon in Rome. And so Leonardo da Vinci went to Rome to find this man and to look at him. And after observing the man, he decided that this is the man that he wanted to paint as the figure of Judas. So with the king's permission, the man was sent to Milan to be painted by Leonardo da Vinci. For months, he sat before Leonardo da Vinci at appointed hours each day as the gifted artists would paint this man. Day after day. As he finished the last stroke, he turned to the guards and said, I have finished. You may take the prisoner away. As the guards were leading the prisoner away, he suddenly broke loose from their control and rushed up to Da Vinci, crying as he did so. And he said, Da Vinci, look at me. Do you know who I am? Da Vinci looked at the man at whose face he had constantly looked at for months and replied, No, I have never seen you in my life. Until you were brought before me out of the dungeon in Rome. Then lifting his eyes toward heaven, the prisoner said, Oh God, have I fallen so low? Then turning his face to Da Vinci, he cried, Leonardo da Vinci, look at me again, for I am the same man you painted just 7 years ago as the figure of Christ. You see, that's the danger you run into if you let the fire go out. It's a long fall to let the fire of God go out in your life. And it's a fatal one. Don't let the fire go out. God sent me here to tell you, keep the fire burning. Listen, if fire is put into the wrong environment, it will go out. If you put it in a vacuum, it'll go out. If it doesn't have something, if you're not feeding it some kind of fuel, it'll go out. Listen, fire has to have oxygen. What can that be symbolic of? The Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to keep the fire burning. But you also need to feed it something. It needs some kind of fuel. What is that? The Word of God, the bread of heaven. You've got to feed your relationship with God, the Word of God. God sent me here today to tell you, keep the fire burning. Keep it burning. Some of you, maybe your fire has gotten low, but God wants you to give it the attention it needs.
to keep the fire burning. Some of you, your fire is burning bright. Keep that thing going. But God wants you to keep the fire burning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, that God, you started the fire, God. And God, you only require us to keep it burning, God. God, whatever sacrifices we need to make, God, God, I pray that we will not hesitate, God, but God, that we will be children who are willing and obedient, that we may eat the good of the land. God, thank you that you care enough about us to give us this word. God, thank you that you care enough about us to meet us in this place. God, thank you that you care enough about us to give your son for us, God. Oh, God, I pray, Lord God, that if there be any in here whose fires have gotten low, that they will do whatever they need to do, that they will sacrifice whatever they need to sacrifice, God. God, that they will do the work it takes to keep the fire burning. God, have your way. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. Move how you want to move. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. If anyone's in here today and your fire has gone out, or maybe that fire was never started, maybe you never gave your life to Christ. I know most of you in here are probably saved. But if you've never given your life to Christ, you need to come up here and get that fire started today. Maybe your fire has gotten low. You know what? You can come forward if you like. You can sit where you're at. But we just want to go into a time of prayer because we want to feed that fire. So right now, forget about everything else. Forget about work tomorrow. Forget about your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or whoever that might be that's been on your mind beside God. And right now, let's feed the fire. Let's keep the fire burning. Let's get close to God. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. When you get close to God, that fire just grows and grows, and the power of God becomes evident in your life. The power of God in your life begins to change those around you. The power of God in your life begins to make a difference in your situation. Come on, let's just pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the fire of your Spirit, God. God, I pray that you will send a fresh revival into this place, oh God. God, I pray, Lord God, that, Lord God, we will be open, God, that we, Father God, will just participate in what you want to do, God, that we will yield, God, that we will surrender, God, that we, Father God, will play the part you want us to play, oh God. God, we want your fire, God. We want your anointing, God. We want your presence, God. God, everything else can go, God, but just give us you. Help us, God, to sacrifice what we need to sacrifice, to do the work it takes, God, that we may run this race, God. That we may finish it, God. And run it in such a way that we will win, oh God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that came in on that day of Pentecost like a rushing mighty wind, oh God. Thank you that he's here on today, Lord. Thank you for those tongues of fire, God, that rested upon your people, God. God, help us, God, to not neglect the fire you have started in us, oh God. Help us, God, to do whatever we must do to keep the fire burning. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and give God a hand of praise. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.